I'm Brett.
I'm Steve.
I'm Evil Jeff.
So
we are leaving a decade.
So
we're leaving a decade that no one has ever been able to figure out what the decade is called, besides the 2000s.
I'll go with aughts.
I like
nobody
aughts.
Calls it the aughts.
They will.
I like aughts, but it does sound a little 1800s.
What did people call the 1905s of the world? What did we call that?
The oddies.
The oddies?
We did? I didn't.
Well, I don't know. Those people are dead now.
The people that called it the oddies?
Yeah. It's like Edith Bunker is saying 80s. Oh, the oddies!
So let me ask you this question. What are you going to call 2010? Are you going to call it 2010? Are you going to call it...
Oh, fuck yeah.
10? You're going to call it 2010?
Oh, the year? Yeah, 2010.
2010. We're getting the year 2010. We're taking the two double digit theory back.
Well, we're entering a new decade of comics, a new decade of expression. And
yeah, but what's the decade we're entering? The teens?
I say
is that
teens.
What we're calling them?
Teens, the tens, yeah.
Teens. I want to enter the new decade, but I don't want to forget the last one. But I only want to remember the good stuff.
Yeah.
The best stuff, if I may.
Please.
Evil Jeff.
Yeah.
Would you like to go over some best of the decade lists?
I do, because I think that my opinion is really interesting. So
One moment. Please. Hold that thought. It sounds like you're about to talk for a long time.
A long period.
I just want to get some wine. So feel free to start. I'll be right back.
But what I did is I did a top 10 of comics, TV shows, and movies.
Oh, I love that. Do you want to... Let's start with the TV or the movie, and then we'll wrap up with comics.
And this is basically a journey through my mental psyche. I think if you hear me, with this list, you will know me. You will know who I am.
I know you well enough. Let's go to the list.
Number 10.
Number 10 of TV?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Number 10, Bad Girls Club.
Wow. Wrong. I kind of hate that.
Sounds horrifying, but I will say it takes every single horrible thing from every single reality show and puts it right together in one show. I think it could be equal to Jersey Shore. I think you could also
Okay, may I say two things here? Number one, I will give you that Bad Girls Club does belong on a list of top 10, and I would say maybe top 10 TV moments. Because the Ripsy, the whole Ripsy
yes,
drunk
Tipsy
thing.
Tipsy Ripsy.
I think
through the whole house.
I think top five TV moments
of the decade is a lock.
Is a lock. Because that kept me going a whole season.
It's
that Ripsy
like,
shit.
Girls with daddy issues beating each other up.
Oh
like,
my
that's
god.
That's good television.
Oh my god,
you
that
can't
Ripsy
look
shit.
Away. It's an hour long car accident.
All right, so number nine.
Number nine. I will say that's the only reality show I put on.
Oh, good. That's the other reason the decade sucked.
God.
Because any
reality
asshole,
TV.
Any asshole could now become a celebrity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Number nine.
Number nine. I put the Sarah Silverman Show.
Love it.
Number eight. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Love it.
Which made me now love Danny DeVito. I love him so much.
Oh my god.
Evil's got a man crush.
If I had a man crush, it would be the other three people of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think I would nominate Sunny in Philadelphia as like one of the, like, they'd be in the top for hottest casts.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. I could not agree more. That show gives me a boner every time I watch it.
Especially when Charlie's in the green man suit.
Yeah. Charlie is like misleadingly hot, but Mac... The things I would do to you.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yep. Number
okay.
seven.
Seven, I put Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Love it.
Six, and yes, I did this on purpose. Six, I put Angel.
Mm. Oh, you're making a statement.
You're evil.
I am. Because the last season of Buffy sucked balls. And like the last three seasons of Angel were amazing.
I thought every season of Angel sucked.
Buffy season 2 and 3 were kind of the best ever. So it's tricky. It's tricky to decide which one goes first. Number 5, Felicity.
What?
Wait, it's J.J. Abrams,
I've
people.
I've talked on this show in defense of Felicity before. And
it's
why
J.J. Abrams.
I know you have, but still.
And, no, the last season, it's the sci-fi season where she goes back in time and decides to choose the other boyfriend instead.
Well, good for
That's
her.
What makes it one of the most amazing ever.
Because
and she
they,
gets put in a mental institution.
Because
all right, anyway.
Because they gave her a sci-fi out at the end.
4, Lost.
4? 4?
Yeah.
Wow, I can't wait to see what the top 3 are.
Yeah.
3, I put Strangers with Candy.
Interesting. I would never, ever in my life put that above Lost, but fine.
I'm sorry, Amy Sedaris' performance throughout that is a thing of, like, that it's an iconic thing that that could never be repeated ever.
Oh, it's on the list. It's just not above Lost.
Yeah, I don't think it's that high up, but go ahead.
2, I put South Park.
Yeah. I agree.
South Park is so smart.
It's the best.
They are. They're very smart and innovative. I love them for that, but I can only watch so much of it.
So what do you think I put for number 1? What could be better than all of that?
30 Rock, Sex and the City, Ugly Betty.
Super Nanny.
It is... Heroes. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh my god,
I knew it.
Heart attack.
American
no,
Idol.
Wait, can
I actually
wait,
put.
Wait, hold on. We want to guess.
Okay.
Can I make a real guess?
Okay, sure.
I'm going to say, because this would be mine, Chappelle Show.
My guess, The Today Show.
I put The Venture Brothers.
Oh, yay. I'll give you that one for sure.
Meh.
I really wanted to put... I thought Lost would be number 1, but when I really thought about it, those 3 are so much dearer to my heart. Because I can watch them over and over and over and over again.
I'm a little upset that Pushing Daisies didn't make your list, but I understand.
Oh, that could be on your list.
It is on
my list. I never got into that. Yeah, what ones... Okay, what for both of you, what did I leave? Like, give me a few that you think I left out that you would have put.
Evil Jeff, you're amazing, because that's the exact list that I just made. The ones you left out. Chappelle Show.
Yep, that's good.
I'm going to have to give some credit to Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's pretty fucking good, too.
Dexter, you were wonderful.
That was good.
Right at the buzzer, Glee. Right at the buzzer.
Yeah.
Know who I also, who Glee. Makes an honorable mention for me would be 6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under. Definitely 30 Rock.
30
definitely.
Rock, definitely. Honorable mention for Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
See, everyone says it's amazing, but I haven't been able to see it yet.
Yeah, it's intense.
But let's not forget some of the ones that slipped in under the radar. Like Charmed.
Yeah, Charmed.
Cleopatra 2525.
Now that should be on the number 1 list.
I
love this list. That is the best.
That's my number 1, actually.
In the year 2525.
Sorry.
That's only part of the theme song I know, but...
That 70s Show should also get a little... as far as being blips on the radar...
Blips.
That
70s
Show was a huge blip for a while.
For me, Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls was a huge blip for a while. Sure.
What about Arrested Development?
No, less.
Arrested Development.
Oh, well...
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
No, and
I think that's a little overhyped, though, honestly.
I will agree with you.
I like it and all, but people act like it's the second coming of Christ. And I'm sorry, nothing that Ron Howard narrates can be the second coming of Christ.
It's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, true.
Words to live by.
So then, of course, that's... what else did you have? No, oh, you got
it. That's it. I'm sure there's much, much more. Oh, we're missing a big one. BSG.
Okay, who Battle actually...
Battlestar Galactica.
Who actually...
Yeah,
who watched
actually,
it?
That is, I purposely left that off.
Evil...
Because it pissed me off.
Evil, did you watch it?
Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah.
I'm the one that always... I was the only... Remember, I would talk about it on these podcasts, and neither of you knew what the fuck I was talking about.
That's right, because it was stupid and boring.
And in the end, you were all right all along.
I can see that. I can see it being stupid and boring.
It was.
Ending, like, worst end to a series ever.
Really?
Yeah, for me, it ruined every... It basically, it was the biggest retcon, and it was like a slap in your face.
Oh, speaking of worst endings ever, we probably... So this isn't like... This is like the objective recap of the decade.
Uh-huh.
We had The Sopranos. We had The Office. We had Weeds. We had Deadwood. We had The Wire. And that's it.
Everybody tells me great things about The Wire. I still haven't watched it.
I saw a few episodes. I just couldn't understand what anyone on that show was saying.
The Baltimore accent is really...
Is it set in Baltimore?
Yes. I'm from Baltimore, and that is why I did not watch it, because I lived there. And that's... I don't want to be reminded.
They
place.
They pronounce their city Balmer.
Balmore. It's down home. Let's go home, and we're going to drink some water from the zinc, and then I'm going to go up on the roof and fix the chimney.
Yeah, it's an ugly part of the country.
It's a really ugly it's a really ugly dialect.
I don't think I can visit there. I'll want to punch everyone.
Anyone who says rough instead of roof, it's gross. It's a gross place. Anyway,
I think we've done TV to death. Let's move on.
So let's do movies.
Movies!
Let's do movies of the decade. Oh my god, you know what my top number one's gonna be.
Star Trek.
No.
Push.
Yes!
So I have a Chris Evans story.
Oh no. What?
Okay, do you remember? It's not... Oh, it's an indirect Chris Evans story.
Oh, God.
Oh, you tease.
If Evil Jeff
remember
just
how on this podcast once
there.
We were talking about his brother.
Yeah.
He's on the cover of Instinct.
Right, sitting at the table right next to his brother.
His brother's on the cover of Instinct right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, his brother is on One Life to Live in a gay plotline, which I watch on YouTube.
Okay, so is he cute or is he not in person? Because I go back and forth on him.
He's super cute. He was super cute. And he was also pretty gay. He was definitely... You can very much tell that he was a homo.
That he's the gay one.
Whereas, which is weird, because on the show, he's a cop. A gay cop. But he's text really, really butch.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
See,
but,
gay men can
I was texting my... I was... I saw him, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I just, like, watched you make out with some guy on One Life to Live. And so I started texting my roommate, who I was eating with, like, oh my god, there's, you know, Chris Evans' brother is sitting right next to you and the table right next to us. And then he's just like, why are you texting me? What's going on? And I'm like, shut up!
Should we, since he is one of our family, should we learn his name? Or should we just keep referring to him as Chris Evans' brother?
I'll forget it.
Because really, the only one I care about is
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Although, his brother does look pretty hot on the cover of Instinct.
But... He's no Chris Evans.
No. Well, no.
Nobody is. All right, what's your top 10 movies?
I'd still
top 10. I'll go through this. We'll go pretty quick because I bet you you guys are idiots and don't know some of these movies.
Whoa.
Ooh. Ouch. Sorry. That's the evil just came out. Sorry.
Evil,
sorry.
It can't be movies your friends made. It's got to be movies that people have seen.
It needs to be commercial films.
There are a few foreign films on here.
How dare you?
How pretentious.
Snob.
Okay, number 10. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Sure, whatever.
Love
overrated.
It. I love it.
Overrated.
You think it was overrated?
Totes.
I will say, it's just like, I just had, when I first saw that in the theaters, my eyes were like dazzling the entire time.
That's
and
great.
That was a very rare experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. They were attached to wires and they ran up a plant.
It was beautiful, though. It was beautifully shot. It was the kind of movie that oh, God, I forgot the director's name already.
Ang Lee.
Yeah, it's the kind of movie that Ang Lee wanted to do with Hulk.
Number 9, I put the movie Zodiac.
I haven't seen that.
Really? There have been hundreds and hundreds of movies for the past 10 years, and you put Zodiac?
I love Zodiac. I thought it was amazing. All right, fine.
Take it off your list.
I mean, it was good. I suppose you know your business.
My name's Evil Jeff. I'm a filmmaker.
All right, stop
Jesus
it.
Christ.
Stop it. It's getting weird.
All right. Well, I'm gonna get a little wooden cross back here so I can nail myself to it. Will that make you guys happy?
Number 8, The Ref.
Finish your list first, then we'll, The Crucible.
You know, The Ref? If that movie was made in the 2000s, I would fucking put that on there.
I love The Ref. That's the movie that introduced me to Kevin Spacey and Judy Davis.
Christy Baranski and Judy Davis.
Oh my God, that movie's incredible.
Wasn't that Whoopi Goldberg?
Mom, there's no TV. What are we going to do? Celebrate the birth of Christ.
Number 8,
Adaptation.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Yeah, that was all right.
That's,
I thought it was pretty amazing.
The movie about the guy that wrote Being John Malkovich, right?
Yeah, it was about him trying to adapt a book. It's about him trying to write the book. Like, trying to write the screenplay for a book.
Well, yeah. It was Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah. Can I ask you this? Is Being John Malkovich on your list?
It is not.
It should be.
I feel it deserves a mention.
I think that is an amazing movie, too. But I guess out of both of those movies, I like Adaptation better.
That's cool. Number seven.
I decided to put Inglourious Basterds.
I haven't seen it yet.
I chose that out of all the Quentin Tarantino movies.
The only Tarantino movie that was the Kill Bill.
Because then it would also be, or Kill Bill.
The only, Jackie Brown was what?
Was 90s? That 90s still?
Yeah, that was like 97.
That was still
90s. Yeah, 98, something like that. And to me, that was the last great one before Kill Bill.
Villain in Inglourious Basterds is going to win. Like, if he doesn't win the Best Supporting Actor Oscar, then there's no justice in society, in the world.
I pretty much guarantee you that he will.
He spoke like 5 different languages through the whole movie.
I cannot wait to see this. I cannot wait. Like, you would not even believe. If it is on Netflix Instant, which it is not, I'm sure.
Yeah, it won't be for a while.
And if you have a Jew fetish, you are in for a treat.
I kind of do, because I grew up around them.
Because it's like a posse of like buff Jews that are beating up the Nazis.
Let's talk about Eli Roth for a second. When I saw the interviews with him when Hostel was out and Hostel was all the rage, I was surprised at how hot he was.
Yeah.
And now he's in a movie, which I believe he deserves because he's so hot. Does anyone disagree with me?
What movie is he in now?
Inglourious Basterds.
Okay. I saw him on Chelsea Lately promoting Inglourious Basterds. I love him.
He's fucking hot.
He is. Yeah.
I'm sorry. If he made those Hostel movies, I don't know if I can abide by him.
True, true. I will never see those. I will never see those. Ever. Ever.
Because who would want to date someone being like, hi, oh, you're really into like cutting up women?
No,
I don't want to go back to your place. Like, I don't know, it's just creepy.
Disgusting.
Anyway.
Number six,
I put The Incredibles.
Oh, that's cute.
That's a good one.
There's not a single thing wrong with that movie.
It's a much better Fantastic Four movie than the other two we got.
Yeah. Which is, that's really sad that there was an actual real Fantastic Four movie and it was a big pile of crap. Both of them. Number 5, I just put Harry Potter. I don't know if I would which one to choose, but I feel like they're all just one big, long, continuous story.
I think I would probably only pick the first one because I thought that was the best adaptation of the books.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was, I really liked that one the best. Although the second one...
The last one kind of was pretty fucking amazing.
I didn't like that one very much. I don't know why people
What do you mean? You saw it with me.
I know I saw it with you, and you like were wiping the cum off of your pants when we were done, and I was rolling my eyes.
Everybody's dead on the inside.
Well, Evil, how long have you known me?
Yeah, you were dead on the inside when I met you.
Long enough to know that. No, I thought that the latest one pissed me off so much because of how much they deleted that referred, you know, that actually referenced the name of the movie, The Half-Blood Prince.
Uh-huh.
And that's what pissed me off about that one. So, yeah, okay.
Fine. Number 4, I said Millennium Actress. It's an anime.
I still haven't watched it.
I have no idea what that even is.
I borrowed it from Lindsay probably a year ago, and it's still sitting on my shelf, and I haven't watched it.
It's, they're doing a video, like, they're, this camera crew's interviewing this old woman, this old actress, about her life, and as she tells her life story, it goes back, and it's, and she's telling it through the movies she was in. So the genres of her life story keeps changing, period. So it's just, you know, it's like a samurai movie, now it's like a space movie,
oh,
now it's
cool.
Like, you know, and it just kind of, it's just so beautiful and so sad and touching, and ugh, it's gorgeous.
That's very cool.
I'll have to watch it then.
In the same, then number three, I put Amelie. Is that cheesy of me?
Oh,
that,
I actually loved Amelie when I saw it. I loved it.
I still
like Amelie. That I think that should be shown. Like, if anyone's contemplating suicide, like, put that.
Yes,
in,
that.
And
well,
if you still want to kill yourself, then you just hand them the gun and let them do it.
Amelie definitely designed to raise your serotonin levels. Like, just.
Nice.
So feel good, wonderful, magical. It is so cute. Nico Concampion.
That's kind of why I think I skipped that one and went for Chocolat instead.
Chocolat is the same vein, yes, but Amelie is a little bit more whimsy, a little bit more creative.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. I just like the idea of magical chocolate.
Wonderful.
Number I never
two.
Saw that movie.
Chocolat?
No.
Well, that's okay. I've never seen Amelie or half the other ones you've mentioned, so we're good.
Hmm. Number two, I'll just breeze by really quick.
You're
In the Mood for Love by Kar Wai Wong.
What the fuck?
He's the guy that did, I'm sorry, there's some, The Red Violin?
No.
Is that does it have Joan Chen in it? You said Wong Kar Wai.
That has Maggie. It's Maggie Cheung and Tony Leung.
Wong Kar Wai, you said, right?
Yes. No, Kar Wai Wong.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The Mood
but
for...
But actually, a lot of people call him Wong Kar Wai, too. You can do that, too.
Wong Kar Wai is good.
Anyway, so number one, I put Mulholland Drive... by David Lynch.
Evil Jeff, you and I have got pure agreement there.
Never seen it.
Let's talk about it for a second.
If nothing blows up, I don't watch it.
Mulholland Drive.
Naomi Watts' pussy blows up in that movie.
That's one really valid point. Mulholland Drive, best female masturbation scene ever.
Yeah.
Ever. It's also not as confusing a movie as people say it is. It's actually, to me, pretty straightforward. It opens with a close-up that zooms in onto a pillow, automatically telling you somebody is falling asleep. The first half of the movie... goes on, it changes and becomes the second half of the movie, and the actors and actresses become different characters. It's very obvious that the first part of the movie was a dream that romanticized the history of these characters, and then she wakes up, and you see where the history has led these characters to. Pretty straightforward in my book, pretty fucking awesome.
That's pretty much what I got out of it, Yeah, and that's why some people, they try to, like, look at every single scene and try to examine every little fucking thing he does. But it's just like, don't do that. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're dealing with something that's dreamlike, not everything's going to make sense or necessarily, he doesn't care about, you know what I mean? He doesn't care about that shit. Like, just go with it.
Well, my thought is if I'm going to watch a David Lynch movie, I'm just going to pretty much give up any sort of analysis at all and just watch it.
So what movies did I leave off?
All right, well, I do want to talk about some of the most significant or most awesome movies of the decade. And some of my favorites, too. One thing I want to mention is, I think, the two biggest comedies of the past decade. I'd like to give those awards to one that was very early in the decade and one that was sort of mid-decade. And I have to give those to Shaun of the Dead.
Okay, yeah.
And The Royal Tenenbaums. No, huh?
I would if I was gonna pick a movie by the guy who did Royal Tenenbaums.
You would pick
Rushmore.
I would pick the Royal Tenenbaums. To me, that is the most one of the most perfect movies ever made, and one of the most creative movies ever made.
I will have to side on Steve.
Wow.
I'm shocked by that.
I liked Rushmore better than Royal Tenenbaums for two reasons. I felt it kind of fell apart at the end. Ugh. And I thought Gwyneth Paltrow was a horrible piece of shit.
Oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? I think it is the only time where she shows any semblance
The only part I liked was when she got her fucking finger chopped off.
Oh my God, we are in such a fight because behind Maude Lebowski, she is my favorite female performance of all time.
Wow.
What?
Yes.
Crack. There was no connection with her and Luke Wilson, who she's supposed to be in love with. Like, I did not, like, she was so one note. I felt that Christina Ricci and her chipmunk face did a better job as Wednesday Addams than she did in her role.
Oh my God.
Are you saying that that's who Gwyneth tried to base her character on was Wednesday Addams?
I do, actually.
Yeah, there is.
I can see that, but I didn't think but you know what? I don't think she has much chemistry with anybody on screen.
I think the beauty of her whole being obsessively in love with Luke Wilson was paid off so well by the fact that she delivered it in the same emotionless way as everything else. And that's what I loved about the performance.
I guess you're right, but...
No, I think you're right, too.
I have a blind rage when it comes to her.
I think we're all right on that one.
I think you're right, too. And I'm so sorry. I want to add a third comedy to the earlier part of the decade, because I think we as a people would be nowhere without 2001's, or even 2000's, Best in Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that belongs there. It's amazing.
He went after her like she was made out of ham.
That
was just a great show.
And I think one of the reasons I'm picking Royal Tenenbaums is because that's the one I would pick for Wes Anderson. Mm-hmm. And I think Wes Anderson deserves a spot in the decade honorable mention.
I think he does, too. I think he's fantastic with what he does. Royal Tenenbaums was just the one I didn't get into.
But I also think that applies to Christopher Guest and the Best in Show casts. Jane Lynch and, you know, everything.
Oh, definitely.
I will say he never quite matched Best in Show.
Never. Never.
I thought For Your Consideration was so amazing, but it still wasn't up there.
Yeah.
I did not like A Mighty Wind, actually.
I think I'm the only one that actually laughed at A Mighty Wind.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I mean, I didn't think it was all that great, but still.
But I did actually think that, what's her name, Maureen O'Hara, what's her name, Catherine O'Hara?
Yeah.
Maureen O'Hara. What am I, from the 40s?
I know, right?
Jesus. Catherine O'Hara, she should have won an Oscar for that fucking role.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's two movies, actually, that we haven't mentioned that really need to be mentioned, especially for people of our ilk.
Ichu Mama Tambien.
Ooh, that was a good one too, yes. But no, I was going to say X-Men and then X2.
I'm going to have to agree with Steve. I want to say that I think perhaps the most important movie of the decade is X-Men. Like, oh my God, this decade brought an X-Men movie.
X-Men. I mean,
Two!
Who would have thought?
Three.
No, two.
There were two. I don't know what you're talking about.
But wait, I thought that the first X movie was in the 19... Was it like in 1999, I thought?
No, 2000.
It was 2000, kid.
It was 2000?
Yeah.
Summer of 2000.
I will say, here's my problems with the X movies. Halle Berry.
Yep.
Alan Cumming.
I'll give you Halle Berry.
You're wrong on the second one, friend.
No, because you know why?
Nightcrawler's hot.
Nightcrawler's hot.
Do you know who else? Do you remember
Alan
who else?
Cumming is not hot.
Alan Cumming is not hot. However, he did a decent job with what he was given there.
Ethan Embry was actually up for Nightcrawler.
Oh, really?
The talk before Alan Cumming was Ethan Embry, and that would have been a very hot Nightcrawler.
Yep.
A really hot Nightcrawler.
Do you think that Doug Ray Scott just kicks himself for getting injured?
No, but I do think that Doug Ray Scott, as good as Hugh Jackman is, I do think that Doug Ray Scott would have been a more mind-blowing Wolverine. Doug Ray Scott would have been so fucking perfect.
He's so short.
Oh,
and that's one of the things that would have been perfect.
He looks exactly like Logan is supposed to look. Exactly. So that was a shame. But, you know, some other ones I want to throw out there, outside of X-Men. Thank you, Donnie Darko. I will say that one of my favorite movies of the decade was your flop of a follow-up, Southland Tales. I love
it. You like that?
I loved
it. I've never seen it.
I love it. Evil Jeff, you will fucking love it. I'm telling you.
Right,
like you will love Southland Tales so much. You are like one of the only people on earth that will love Southland Tales. It is so good.
I have it. It's been on my Netflix queue for probably like a year now.
Oh my god, Mandy Moore her performance is so tragic in that movie that it's so good. But that's the only like so bad it's good part. Everything else is like so weird and interesting that it's good. Except Mandy Moore. She's just a train wreck. What else? Oh my god, Brick, indie hit of the year
really
for me.
That's a good movie. I don't know if I'd put that on the top 10 of all time. Maybe if there was a butt shot with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, then
No doubt. I also loved you, Eastern Promises. That naked fight scene. But my fave, like, oh my god, I can't believe you happened, is Batman Begins Dark Knight. These Batman, like, really?
Yeah.
Like, really? Oh my god. I think we need to bow down to these Batman movies for a second.
No matter what my complaints are with anything regarding the Bat and movies, those two movies were the most successful relaunching of a franchise, and I have to give them props for that. They were amazing.
I just watched Batman Begins again. It's so fucking good.
I love the first one. Dark
Knight is like 20 times better. I can't even stand it. It's so amazing.
They are amazing movies.
And Spider-Man 2.
The only thing that Dark Knight got wrong is they were not fucking able to get Katie Holmes back so that she could have been fucking blown up.
Yes, exactly.
I think the point was they didn't want her back.
I think we should talk about the best comics of the decade.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. I'm so excited because there have been so many, and I want to talk about the creators who meant the most, and I want to talk about the best moments. Let's do this. Hold on, I need to bring the huge bottle of wine out here.
You do your list, and then we'll just chime in.
I don't think you've actually read number 10. It's something Jeff M. Ward gave me.
God damn it, Evil.
It's called Tramps Like Us. It's a manga.
Oh.
I haven't read that, but tell me about it.
This woman named Samir, she's like a journalist and works at a newspaper, and she's all work, 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 work. And she's very like anal retentive, very obsessive. She's pretty much bipolar. And as she's walking home, she finds living in a box, a little homeless 15-year-old boy. And she's like, you can stay with me. But she brings the box up and is like, here, sleep in the box. And she treats him like a dog and feeds him like a dog, like on the floor. But then the 15-year-old boy loves it, and he's totally in love with her.
Oh, my God.
Incredible. And they have this, like, so then she has this pet. And then she has a boyfriend, and she's like, keeps it, and everybody thinks it's her dog. But it's really a guy, and it spans 5 years until the boy's 20, and then they finally. So once he becomes legal age, they like start having sex. Like it's really fucked up.
It's incredible.
It's very Japanese.
I decided for number 9, I needed to throw something DC in there. I put the Secret Six.
Good job, Evil.
Wow.
Anyway, so number 8, I put X-Force.
Yay! It is. Steve, have you read?
No, I still haven't read it.
Steve.
Bag it.
Steve, you will
never like it as much as you guys. I just won't.
Oh, my God.
I know right off the bat. I know.
It's so dark. It is so dark.
It's, like, you have to keep remembering. Beyond. I'm, like, two generations ahead of you in my thinking because that's how I was raised.
Yeah, I know.
And I just think that I'm not about the dark heroes. I can't help it.
All right. Okay, number
fine.
Seven.
Go.
8-ball number 23, The Death Ray by Daniel.
Oh, love it. Love it so much.
It's the best portrait of a superhero. It's the most realistic portrait of a superhero.
Exactly. Or
it's
what's...
kind of, because most superheroes, they're superheroes because they overcome. And this is this hero that just, he didn't overcome. Because usually if you don't overcome, then you become like a villain. And
yeah.
He just becomes nobody.
Yeah, exactly. He just becomes what any of us would become. He just becomes another dude.
Number six. This is a controversial one, maybe. Because it's by Brian Michael Bendis.
Who I actually love.
That is a controversial. Go ahead.
I chose The House of M.
What?
Wow.
As a top 10 of the decade?
Yeah, it really... I kind of thought it was amazing.
I mean, I think House of M is really good. I think it's really good. I hate that they destroyed Layla Miller, because part of why it was good was the mystery surrounding that character.
Yeah.
But at the time, I mean, it has one of my favorite moments of the decade, and that's when Layla Miller wakes Emma up.
Mm. Yeah, that's you know, honestly, that's the scene that put it in the top.
That scene where she's like, I'm gonna fucking kill,
my god. She's just like, everyone get out, I'm a telepath, and then she does it to her, and she's like... Are you fucking kidding me?
Everyone else was like, oh my god. She's like, oh, everyone else was like, oh my god, no. Oh my god, no. She's like, are you fucking kidding me? Where is he? I'm gonna fucking kill him. Oh, Emma.
But then number two is when Spider-Man, when Emma, she just looks at Spider-Man and she just goes, I'm sorry. Because there he is with Gwen Stacy and his kids. And he loses it and Wolverine has to go and like... bring him over the head. Like, it was so good.
That was amazing.
I'll tell you the truth. I loved House of M up until the ending. But other than that, it was a very pretty book. It was a well-told book. I was really into the concept, seriously, like, up until the last issue.
Number five. Brian K. Vaughan's run of The Runaways.
Oh.
Of Runaways.
Oh, nice choice.
I'm sorry, was he the original creator?
Yeah, he created it.
Oh, then I agree. I read enough of it.
Okay. That's what I tell people. Like, read BKV's run and don't worry about the rest.
Number four is another manga. Death Note.
So good. I still haven't gotten through all the manga yet, but I got up to, I want to say, volume 12?
Number three, Invincible by Robert Kirkman.
I knew you were gonna call that one out.
It's the best thing to come out of Image Comics in forever. It's just so good. It's good. And you guys don't read it, and that's fine. I'm fine with it.
I know.
That's fine. We're fine
but
with
Eric
it, too.
Eric would agree with me.
I'm sure Eric would, but he's not here right now, is he?
No, he's not.
So, it's just you.
Number two, I've cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel that since they kind of took place right after each other, it's kind of one long arc for me.
Okay.
But Grant Morrison's run on New X-Men and Josh Whedon's run on Astonishing X-Men.
So for you, it's a tie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only, oh my god. Talk about the sum of the whole being greater than the parts. Like, that is the only... way that Grant Morrison's New X-Men could have been followed up. It was the most amazing season four of that TV show. Beyond.
Yeah, I agree.
Beyond anything. I have no words for Grant Morrison's run on X-Men and Whedon's subsequent run on Astonishing. I have no words.
Because you could say Josh Whedon, he couldn't have done any of that without Grant Morrison setting it up.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's really hard to... Because, I mean, for me, just the introduction of Emma Frost as an X-Men character changed... Like, it changed the game.
That was
a game changer.
The most significant thing in comics was the separation of Jean Grey and Scott Summers.
Anyway, number one.
Number one.
Why the Last Man?
Yay!
Good job.
Couldn't agree more.
Good pick.
Couldn't agree more.
I'd like to know what you guys would add.
Well, there's quite a few, Evil. There's quite a few. I gotta say that this was the decade of Grant Morrison. And Grant Morrison has been writing comic books since the 80s. 3 decades ago by now. Oh my god, 3 decades ago. But between New X-Men, Batman R.I.P., Final Crisis, and to me...
All-Star Superman,
which I really like the number one and two spots in the decade, I have to give to DC and I have to give to Grant Morrison. Number two being All-Star Superman, number one being The Seven Soldiers of Victory. The Seven Soldiers of Victory, there was nothing ever like that, and there will ever never ever be anything like that again.
I never even read that. What is that about?
It is about a team of seven superheroes who can never meet. They are a team. They are the Seven Soldiers of Victory. But if they ever meet, they will be killed.
The thing about Grant Morrison, for me at least, I read his stuff and probably like 2-3 years later, I get it.
Yeah.
And then it starts to really work for me.
So just the fact that how Grant Morrison was able to do what he wanted to do and turn the DC Universe into this big hype, hyper continuity, sentient universe. Whatever the fuck he meant by that, he did something.
His spell was cast, and it did work.
Yes.
It did.
So Grant Morrison basically, like, he, like, re-spooged out a new DC universe, and it was fucking phenomenal. Not to mention Batman R.I.P. Now, what did Marvel do?
Or Batman and Robin.
Or Batman and Batman and Robin, the other thing he set up.
I want to throw in another DC one really quick that you guys both would absolutely hate, but for people like me who grew up with the JLA and the Avengers, well, JLA versus the Avengers was the best just comic book story involving those two teams that just had that have ever come out.
When did that come out?
Oh, 2000 and something or other.
Hmm. Well, I figured that much.
Well, good.
It was this decade, I swear to God.
Well, good.
What did Marvel do that was innovative and crazy?
I actually have a serious answer.
I have one. Go ahead.
Ultimate Universe. Ultimate Spider-Man deserves to be mentioned.
That was...
Maybe that, but Ultimate X-Men died in a big pile of flaming turds.
It started out with a big pile of flaming turds.
The Ultimates, I think, also was one of the most important comic book events to happen. Without the Ultimates,
agreed,
we would not have any of this big Avenger movie stuff going on. Mm-hmm. We absolutely would not.
What else we got?
Well, I want to talk about... I said Grant Morrison was the creator of the decade. Now, there's a different creator of the decade.
Ooh.
And it's who Evil gave number one to.
It's deserved as well.
It's Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah.
BKV! BKV.
He also has Ex Machina going.
Dude, Ex Machina.
Ex Machina is mind-blowing, in my opinion.
It's the best character. There's a character I want to talk about as far as the decade goes, but I will say the best new character of the decade is clearly Mayor Mitchell 100.
Yeah.
Clearly Mayor 100. Maybe Yorick Brown. Maybe. There is no better character
than Mayor 100. That's a very close race. And you know who wins that race? Brian K. Vaughan.
Brian K. Vaughan, exactly. And us. So, between Ex Machina, Why the Last Man, I will also mention Pride of Baghdad. I will also mention Doctor Strange, The Oath.
Oh.
The Hood.
The Hood, who became such a huge character in the MU.
Doctor Strange, The Oath. That was one book that completely knocked me over. Just the fact that Brian K. Vaughan could take Doctor Strange and make him interesting enough.
And put him in an Italian suit.
Combine him with the night nurse. Get an artist like Marcos Martin who's like, yeah, I'm going to take his costume and not make it spandex or a flowy shirt.
Doctor Strange's voice in that book is so what Doctor Strange should be. Like, he nails it. He's still a guy who chooses to wear a handlebar mustache because he thinks it's sophisticated.
It is.
So BKV, you rocked my decade.
And lost.
And lost. I mean, what he did to Nikki and Paolo, maybe that wasn't him.
I don't remember who wrote that.
He came in, though, when all the time shit, when they started doing all the fucked up shit with the time.
I feel like he came in the episode after the Nikki and Paolo episode, where they got killed.
That was a great episode.
That was great. Mostly because she opened her eyes right before she got buried
alive. Yeah, that was awesome. And at that point, she deserved it.
So I'd like to talk about comic book characters who the decade just deified, if I will.
Yes.
There's one established character who I think... there's a bunch. Captain America is one. Captain America had a great decade. But I think the character that had the best decade...
is Dazzler.
Is Dazzler. And by best decade, I mean the
1980s.
The 80s. No, wait, what were you really going to say?
What I was really going to say is actually quite boring and predictable, but you cannot argue with me on it. The character that had the best decade is Wolverine.
Wolverine?
Yes.
I won't argue with you on it, but I'm going to ask you what your reasoning behind that.
Both comics and movies.
And cartoons.
And television have improved Wolverine or capitalized on Wolverine more than any other. X-Men. Wolverine made Hugh Jackman a star.
Yeah,
Without Wolverine, we would not have had the last Oscars.
And Wolverine is now up there with, like, Batman and Superman and Spider-Man.
Whereas before, to the comic book fan, Wolverine was up there with Batman and Superman. But now to everybody, Wolverine
is little boys are like, I want to be Wolverine. You know, like, that... it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Now let's talk about what books was Wolverine the star of. I will say Grant Morrison's New X-Men.
Yep.
I will say Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men. I will say Chris Yost, Craig Kyle's X-Force.
Yep.
And that's all I got.
You can't forget New Avengers.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's right.
Shit.
It's the year where Wolverine became...
an Avenger.
An Avenger. So we've got New Avengers. And we've got Dark Avengers. Because without Wolverine, there'd be no Daken.
Don't forget that he also has his own comic. He's got
his
Wolverine Origins comic.
Oh, yes.
He was also in the Weapon X comic.
Oh, yeah, that. Is this the decade where we finally learned what Weapon X was all about? What happened there?
Weapon 10?
Oh, do I remember a book called Origin that came out this decade?
Was that this decade?
Probably not.
No, I think it was before.
He had some of the best lines. He probably had the best line in comic books in the past 10 years.
What line was that?
I don't know the issue, but it was Astonishing X-Men. And it was the Astonishing X-Men battling something big. Sentinel, I don't know. Something big. And it was the inner thoughts of all the X-Men right after Colossus's return. And all the different X-Men members had those long soliloquies, especially Kitty and Peter, especially Scott and Emma. And then Wolverine's was simply, I like beer. That, to me, was my favorite comic book line.
I like beer.
Best comic book line.
As a faggot, I like the Emma Frost and Moonstone dialogue better.
Oh, you're right.
You would.
You're
seriously,
right.
Who the fuck are you?
That was my way of trying to be polite. Emma Frost has too many good lines. In fact, I dropped an Emma Frost line today when Jeff and I were Christmas shopping, and we passed Van Cleef and Arpels, and I tugged on Good Jeff's arm, and I said, ooh, that was Emma Frost's line when she just found out that she can turn to diamond. She said, I'm going to have myself appraised at Van Cleef & Arpels. No, the comic book line of the past 10 years, that every time I think about it actually does make me well up with tears, and I'm about to right now, but I'm too drunk, so I won't, is when Kitty's in the bullet, zooming away, and it was something about, I was supposed to keep an eye on you, disappointed Miss Frost, and you turn the page, and Emma says, astonished Miss Pride.
That's right.
There is no, I swear to God, I'm crying right now. There is no better line in comics.
I just got chills when you said it. But oh no, seriously, Evil, he's tearing up.
I'm seriously tearing up.
I want to make fun of him.
It was so, I'm tearing up because I'm so drunk. It was so perfect.
It was. It was perfect.
No, but the
so
Grant Morrison one had a few, there's one where it's like, why did I have to fall in love with Scott Bloody Summer?
Oh my God. And when
she's
you.
She's like in Wolverine's arms crying.
When you read
she,
that.
Like, her asshole out.
Oh my God. When you read that, you were like, no. That was such a reveal that she was in love with Scott Summers. To the point that she was crying, to the point that she was crying in Wolverine's arms. I'm crying
again.
She's
not humanized at all through up until that
moment. Ever. Since 1976, she had not been humanized. And then that moment happened. And it was, and she had mascara streaming down her face. And it was Phil Jimenez, so she looked like a drag queen.
Oh, yes.
Because the way he's drawn her in Astonishing right now with her faux Farrah hair, are you kidding me? You bought that wig at Beatnik's, girl.
Yeah.
Like, oh
yeah.
My God.
I tried that wig on.
Oh my God.
It's coming back. It's coming back.
Oh my God. In another
You know what
years.
Else this decade was for comics? Comics got a whole lot gayer.
Oh God.
They got gayer and better.
So much gay. Wait, I just read the X-Men Legacy. Bling. Lesbian.
Yeah.
You know that?
Damn. Bling. She said,
she made some references when she was in it previously.
Oh, did she?
She had a crush. I think she had a crush on Emma.
She has crush on Rogue now. She said,
or Danny Moonstar. She had a crush on
Rogue. Rogue just saved her.
Oh,
so.
Danny Moonstar is a lesbian's dream.
I think, I don't know. I would love Danny for Danny to come out, but.
Danny Moonstar will damage your clit.
But
no, because they already got. They
Karma?
Already got,
yeah.
Karma's the dyke. Karma's not going to let anyone else come out to steal her thunder.
That's true.
Well, Karma and Kitty almost got it on.
What?
Yeah, it was a very little known miniseries called Mechanics, starring Kitty Pryde and Karma. It
oh
was
my God,
by
I remember
Chris Claremont.
That. Is that like the whole Chicago when Kitty was in Chicago?
Kitty was living in Chicago, going to university.
Was she running for mayor? Oh no, that was X-Men: The End.
Close. No, she was.
Oh yeah, I love that Kitty's got Chicago roots.
Kitty was back in Chicago going to school. And Karma was tending bar.
Wait, is Kitty from Chicago?
No, Kitty. Yeah. Oh no.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Kitty's
from
she's,
Chicago.
She's from the suburbs, baby.
I love it.
Yeah.
She's probably from Glen Ellen.
Go check out 1980. That's when her debut was, and that's they went out to God. What the fuck suburb was it now?
Oh, it's probably Lake Forest.
No, hey, something.
No, no, no. She wasn't.
No,
rich.
It wasn't Lake Forest. No, she wasn't rich. She's
like
Jewish.
Evanston or something.
Oh yeah, they don't let Jews in Lake Forest.
Yeah, no,
no.
But no, it was actually really funny though because there was Karma was obviously there being all lesbian like, hey, look at me, I eat pussy, and then Kitty was like, I don't know if I should eat pussy or not. I'm kind of a pussy because my name's Kitty.
She's like Claire.
Yeah, except better.
Wait, that line was not in that. She did not say. I should eat pussy because my name is Kitty.
It was Chris Claremont writing it. Maybe you should check it out. It could have been
oh
in there.
Oh, God, it should have been.
Is that where Karma first comes out?
No, she came out before that.
No, Karma's been licking muff since I was like 5.
But how many gay characters have come out in the 2000s?
Apollo and Midnighter got married.
Yep.
And raised a child.
Anoli came out.
Bling
came. We do said that, but that's yeah, we got it. Anoli,
Carolina from the Runaways.
Carolina, yeah.
Gray Malkin.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
That's right. And who is he doing it with, or trying to do it with?
Anal.
Oh, Anal. That's right. Yeah. Even though like Anoli's like 10 years younger than he is. Well, 120 years younger than he is.
Obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
Obsidian came out.
Obsidian came out this decade. Well, you know, did we... What, Freedom Ring, did he come out this decade and then die, or did
yeah,
he come out...
No, that was this decade.
Emma Frost's brother is a faggot.
Yeah, Christian Frost.
Yeah. There can always
I
be a
we should
dream.
Invite our listeners to put on the boards what their top tens are.
Definitely. Let's talk about moments. Everyone, put your top moments, or titles, or storylines, but let's focus on moments. Moments are what make life...
Moments.
Moments I want to throw out there.
Top decade moments.
Astonishing X-Men, Unbreakable, Conclusion, Scott Summers, no optic blasts for like 8 fucking issues.
Fucking loved it.
guy being tortured, guy torturing him, goes, what else are you hiding? What else are you hiding? You turn the page, and it's the biggest Cyclops optic blast you've ever seen. Moment. Death of Jean Grey. Moment.
Oh, me? Moment? My moment? I'm going to have to call back my homegirl, is when you fucking saw white Psylocke and her old armor thing come back.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I will also say Dazzler choosing to burn her former friend's face off. Moment. Moment. The return of Dazzler's half-sister. Moment.
What are the DC moments?
I don't know.
Batman dying?
Yeah, that was a good page when he got hit with those Omega Beams. That was pretty cool.
I have a couple of DC moments that I love.
Thank God.
All right, first off, the moment that, in my opinion, defined Wonder Woman. When she killed Maxwell Lord.
Yes.
Motherfucker looked at her and said, you can't stop me. The only way you can stop me is by killing me. And she said, snap.
That is the defining moment of Wonder Woman more, I would think, I don't even know. Like, that has defined Wonder Woman more than since anything Linda Carter did.
I love that. And another moment.
Huge.
A personal moment for me was when Power Girl got her memories back. I'm just saying.
Oh.
Can I just say really quickly, I want to remind you guys and everyone else listening that X Nation number 2,
oh God,
is going to have a North Star story in it. I think it's written and drawn by Tim Fish, queer creator that I love. So everybody should get it.
Oh, wow. It's a queer creator writing North Star?
A queer creator writing and drawing a North Star story.
This is like the first fucking time.
We've got to get it and support
it. Oh my God.
If Tim Fish could wind up doing a North Star miniseries, hell yeah.
That's huge. Wow.
It won't happen, but I'm just saying.
I love it. I love it.
Okay, I'm done. See ya.
Alrighty.
Alright, Evil. It was a pleasure.
Goodbye, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Goodbye. Merry Christmas. I'm sorry that you have to spend Christmas in 70-degree weather.
No, I'm going home to Baltimore where there's a blizzard.
Good for you.
Oh, good.
And I threw out all my winter clothes.
Oh, Jesus.
Woo! Alright.
Alright.
Bye, faggots.
Alright, bye, love.